So let's talk a little bit about the clinical research available on gilteritinib. You mentioned that it does have a different spectrum of activity. What's been seen in the clinical research?
Well, if you use gilteritinib by itself as monotherapy in relapse refractory patients and a subset of patients who are newly diagnosed and not eligible for conventional chemotherapy, you can basically get those folks into remission about 45% of the time, around that range. So, I mean, that is what we're looking at, even with conventional, more aggressive, more toxic treatment. So that is very promising. Why is that promising? Well, you can achieve remission. You can hopefully prolong their relapse-free and overall survival, but you can also bridge a substantial subset of these patients to a bone marrow transplant, a curative paradigm for some of these patients. So, and the same can be said about quizartinib as well, the other potent selective FLT3 inhibitor. Data has been presented that showed if you use quizartinib monotherapy, more than 40% of patients can achieve remissions, and some of them can go on to transplant. It is important to say, though, and I have brought this up before in various settings, that the remission that you achieve with targeted therapies, such as FLT3 inhibitors and IDH inhibitors, is different than the remission you get with intensive chemotherapy. Cytotoxic agents that you use as induction chemotherapy deplete the marrow. They cause basically emptying of the marrow, and you hope for a repopulation of normal healthy cells. That is, in my view, a kinetic remission. Basically, you hope that the good cells outpace the ugly cells that had taken over. With targeted treatments, especially in particular IDH inhibitors, but also FLT3 inhibitors, you see a lot of differentiation. You see a lot of cells learning, a lot of blasts learning to become mature and differentiate. And many of our patients, not many, but a subset of our patients actually have syndromes, meaning they have a rash, they have lung infiltrates, they have pleural effusions. So this is also an important aspect of treating patients with targeted therapies in the community, to be able to recognize a patient you have maybe on an IDH inhibitor or a FLT3 inhibitor who ultimately develops, if these drugs are ultimately approved, develops symptoms that are concerning for a differentiation syndrome, and how to recognize it, when to make a decision about whether these folks need to be stabilized or hospitalized, and how to manage it.
How do you visualize the pathophysiology differentiation syndrome? And for example, how does it lead to pleural effusion?
That is something that I don't believe has been fully worked out, but it probably has something to do with a cytokine release mediated syndrome, where cells, as they mature and differentiate, infiltrate various tissues, including the lung, the pleura, sometimes the kidneys and skin, and lead to inflammatory manifestations. And the predominant approach to management of these situations is steroids, followed by a taper once patients stabilize. And this has been seen in a clearly differentiating therapy, such as what you use with acute promyelocytic leukemia. The predominant treatment there is all-trans-retinoic acid or arsenic. Those lead to very robust differentiation in the majority of patients, and a subset of them develop a differentiation syndrome that needs to be managed.
I'm curious if you have any thoughts about, there was an oral presentation at ASCO, deep molecular responses to gilteritinib to improve survival. Can you comment on that?
Well, the deeper your response, whether you assess that depth of remission by loss of FLT3 mutational detection or by flow cytometric analysis of minimal residual disease that's being done more and more, the more we have seen, at least in clinical trials, a lot of this needs to be further established by additional study, that oftentimes translates to longer remissions and perhaps even improved survival. A lot of this is clouded by what ultimately happens to these patients following achievement of remission. Some go to transplant, some achieve more chemotherapy. So it's hard to kind of know exactly what that translates to. But I personally, based on the data I've seen, believe that the deeper your remission is, the less likely you are ultimately to relapse, and probably you're going to have better outcomes.